My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of the store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some of you may not know who I am. You're probably wondering where Father Peter is, too. My name's Father Jim Walther. I'm Father Peter's boss. So, where's Father Peter? He is down in Florida, given a parish mission. But I've already seen pictures of him fishing, so you probably know what's going to be in your homily next week. So just be prepared. When I read today's gospel, I thought of a story I heard about Mark Twain. Mark Twain actually attended a dinner party here in Boston. And it said that there was a group of people here, very wealthy people, and one of the persons who attended the party was someone who made his money. He was a landlord, and he made it, let's say he cheated and he squeezed the poor for every penny they had, and he got his money that way. And he cornered Mark Twain during the party, and he boastfully said, "You know, before I die, I'm going to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And I'm going to climb Mount Sinai, and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments out loud." Mark Twain is said to have replied very acidly, "Why don't you just stay here in Boston and live them?" Good advice. Today's gospel talks about a number of things, but it talks about the sins of the tongue. You know, God gave us 10 commandments. 2 of the commandments concern the tongue. Sins of the tongue. I should put you on the spot and say, "Okay, which ones are they?" Everyone will look down and avoid eye contact. But think about it. 1 is blasphemy. Do not take the Lord's God name in vain. The other is don't talk falsely about your neighbor. 2 of the 10 commandments deal with the tongue. The tongue, the sins of the tongue, are mentioned over 150 times in the Bible. 150. So, what are the sins of the tongue? So it just gave me pause to think about it. And about times in my life. And 2 thoughts or 2 memories came to mind. You see, I grew up in Michigan, and next door was the Christie family. They have 12 kids. The Walthers, my family, we have 10 kids. Believe it or not, 2 siblings from each family got married. But the Christies had a profound effect upon us and upon the neighborhood. See, Mr. Christie never swore. Never. He never heard the man swear. When he was angry, he would say something like this, "You get over here, you little potlicker." And I remember growing up saying, "What's a potlicker?" It's a word he made up so he didn't swear. My dad even used that, potlicker, when he was angry. I asked my neighbor, I remember as a teenager I used to swear all the time, and I noticed he never swore, I noticed his dad never swore, and I said, "What's up with that? Why doesn't he swear?" And he said, "He always told me that God gave us an intellect to articulate exactly what we're thinking." And he said, so there was no need to give a bad example, especially to the young or to others, when you can clearly articulate what you're thinking. You see, growing up as a teenager, I started swearing because I wanted to sound adult-like. And after hearing that, that was my Lent for that year. I stopped trying to sound like an adult and started acting like one. So I gave up swearing. Why do you swear? Secondly, the second memory that came to mind was when I was ordained, I was just newly ordained, I went to my first assignment. It was in a parish in New Jersey, and I was angry at the pastor. And it wasn't just one thing he did. It's like all these little things he did. It was just, he did this, and then he did this, and he did this, and he did this. And that last little thing he did just made me toxic. So I remember sitting in church. I spent a half hour telling God what a lowlife this person is, my pastor. And after I spent a half hour telling God all of his faults, all of his weaknesses, I was just like exhausted, I was like spent. And I was kneeling there in quiet. Finally, when I got quiet, I could almost hear God whisper to me, "Now tell me all the good things about him." You see, I kind of forgot that. You see, a lot of us, we spend a lot of time mining, looking for the dirt of other people, the things that bother us. And we're critical of the people, but we don't mind what's good about the other people. Well, the goodness that we see in that person. And once you do, once you unearth all the good things about the other people, then the bad things don't look as bad, do they? All of a sudden, the goodness kind of outweighs the bad. And so I remember that Lent. Every time I was angry at someone, I would spend that equal amount of time mining or unearthing all the good things about them, so I wouldn't forget that. How many couples here? I remember I just did a wedding a month ago, and I asked the couple, I said, "What do you love most about the other person?" And they told me it's absolutely beautiful. How many couples here actually tell each other what you love most about the other person? We're quick to say the bad things, aren't we? We're quick to point out their weaknesses. But how many of us really unearth the goodness of the other person and then even share it with them? So when I read today's gospel, I really feel challenged about the sins of the tongue. But more importantly, I hear that question, what am I going to give up for Lent?